From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed psychotherapist, and this is a show where we deal with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which means a balance in body, mind, and spirit. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? So before I get into today's show, which is going to be talking about freeing ourselves from our thoughts, I want to acknowledge my sponsor, the Rainbow Mobile Notary Services, and Charles King, and to remind all of you that as a nation, we all recently witnessed the unfortunate events and circumstances surrounding Terri Schiavo. Each day, hundreds of individuals, and you may be one of them, face difficult life-altering decisions and are not properly prepared. Don't let this happen to you. Let Rainbow Mobile Notary Services help. We all tend to avoid stressful, emotional, physical, and financially charged issues and convince ourselves it's never going to happen to me or I have plenty of time to deal with this. None of us know how much time we have to deal with anything in our lives. For your own peace of mind and for the well-being of those you love, don't wait or procrastinate. Let Rainbow Mobile Notary Services assist you with living wills, trusts, estate plannings, and especially medical power of attorneys, and much more. Plan now, prevent problems later. Rainbow Mobile Notary Services will come to your home, your office, your hospital room, if necessary, in order to help you have the peace of mind as you're dealing or struggling with things and as your loved ones are, to know what's in place and what you want to have happen in case you are not in a space to deal with it yourself. So you can call Rainbow Mobile Notary Services at 480-518-2090. That's 480-518-2090. Or you can visit their website at rainbowprof.com. That's www.rainbowprof, as in professional, P-R-O-F.com. And I want to thank Rainbow Mobile Notary Services for their support of the show, and I'm very grateful. And we're going to get right into that show right now. So the title of today's show is Quiet the Mind to Quiet the Soul, Thought Streaming. Now, if you hear that word, those words, thought streaming, you might wonder what that means. And in a moment, I'm going to be introducing my guest today, who actually coined that phrase. But I want to quote something from his book, Free Your Mind, It's Not What You Think, by Stephen Pashko, Ph.D. And he writes, many of us think that we are our thoughts instead of we have our thoughts. And most of us think that thought streaming is thinking. It's not. It's a rapacious flow of energy-draining mental activity that leads to pain, unhappiness, and exhaustion. Actual thinking is an entirely different process, a tool to use rather than an uncontrolled habit that uses us up. Free your mind can transform the way you think about thinking. Stop thought streaming and good things will happen, Pashko encourages his readers. But is it just another form of meditation, some ask? No, he replies. There are many meditation practices, most of which point towards two fundamental questions. Who am I and what is God? I am not concerned with these questions here. This is simply a tool, a psychological leverage to enhance your life. Now, Dr. Pashko is a healthcare researcher in clinical pharmacology and quality of care, worked as a vice president for scientific affairs outside Philadelphia at a worldwide full-service clinical research organization, providing services to the pharmaceutical, biotechnology, and device industries. Recently, Dr. Pashko spent 5 years working on Free Your Mind, his first book. After 30 years of research and study, he studied the traditional fields of biology and philosophy, pharmacology, and clinical psychology, culminating in a doctorate in central nervous system pharmacology and a license to practice as a clinical psychologist. He no longer does formal psychotherapy with clients, however. Instead, he conducts an educational practice with them based on his non-drug approach that focuses on their thought processes. Dr. Pashko, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Stuart. Thanks very much.
Well, I'm really glad you're here. And one of the things that I really like, the idea of thought streaming, which I'm going to ask you to define even further than what I read in a moment, obviously, since that's what we're talking about today. Thought streaming, you know, is another way of saying mind chatter, and all of us can relate to that, including me. And it's really wonderful when a concept that all of us actually get and understand without having a word for it, when somebody comes along like yourself and puts a simple phrase to it, like thought streaming, it kind of helps it coalesce and gives us a framework to work under in terms of addressing it more directly. I mean, I talk with my clients all the time about the mind chatter. What do you hear in the mind chatter? What's going on there? How is it distracting you? And we talk about how to shut it down. But what I really like about your book and your concept is, like I said, it puts it into a framework that makes it workable and understandable, and it structures it, which in itself is what your book is talking about, having thoughts that you can pay more attention to, maybe that are more structured than the thought streaming that's just out of control and all over the place. So for that, I want to thank you. And to start with, I want you to, if you would, open by telling us exactly what thought streaming is and how you got to it.
Well, how I got to it, I think it kind of comes naturally for me. And I wouldn't disagree, really, about a sense of thought streaming really just being mental noise.
Mm-hmm.
It's also, in a way, stream of consciousness, mental chatter. It's really all of those things, with maybe one exception, and that is I think that the very first thought that someone has in, let's say, a series of thoughts, a series of progression of thoughts, and it might be, it's time for lunch. That's a first thought. It comes kind of like by a little insight. You know, somehow your body is telling you you're hungry, and all of a sudden the thought pops into your mind, time for lunch. That's the first thought, and that's pure as the driven snow, really. The rest of what's going to happen is, I think, harmful, and we could really do without. And this is where thought streaming starts. It doesn't really start with that very first thought. It starts at number two and kind of keeps going for as many as you then have. And actually, eventually, a space will develop when your thought streaming will just stop naturally. You may be paying attention to something or working out, or some kind of activity will make you have some kind of strong attention, and that will literally stop your thought streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So it will go away.
So what would be the second thought after that? You talked about it's time for lunch. My understanding is some of us go into this, the river kind of takes it, if you want to talk in terms of streaming, where
that's right.
Time for lunch, do I want Italian, do I want French, who's going to go with me, or am I going to eat alone?
The best sandwich shop is across town, you know. I don't know if my car will make it. I don't know if I have enough money for gas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it just starts to go and go and go. And so you can be on pretty soon the topic of politics in the Middle East and gas prices and all of that, kind of working yourself up into a lather, when really you're just hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the very first thing. So thought streaming really starts with the second thought, and then kind of continues on until that energy dissipates and another silence comes around again. And then, sometime later, another pure as the driven snow, thought will come. And you'll often go off into a long thought stream about that as well.
Mm-hmm. So the difference between thinking and thought streaming is that thinking is more of just the simple thought and the reflection on it, as opposed to that simple thought that starts it and then the tidal wave comes.
I kind of always combine the two words thinking with logical. So I always say logical thinking, and make sure that people understand that there's got to be a formal system underlying real thinking, like arithmetic or date planning. You know, if I'm going to go on a trip someplace,
mm-hmm.
what will I do first, second, third, or a priority system? I like to do this. I like to do this. But when it's just kind of a meandering sense of mental words, then that tends to be thought streaming.
Mm-hmm. Okay. As we're continuing with this, I want to remind my listeners that this is a live call-in show. We're on KXAM in Phoenix. And the number, if you want to ask a question of myself or Dr. Pashko, or you have a question or a comment to add to what we're talking about, the number in Phoenix is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. And if you're listening via the Internet, as I know a number of you are, because we've gotten last week we had a call from Northern California, it's the same number. It's a toll number, but on today's rates, it's next to nothing. So give us a call and join in. Now, I know you are you are licensed as a psychologist, correct?
That's correct. Yes.
And you also have from what I saw in your bio, a background in psychopharmacology too.
That's correct.
Okay. So let's talk about the fact that. I introduce the show by talking about a holistic approach, body, mind, and spirit. Some people see that as finding alternative ways to dealing with issues other than allopathic or medicine and things
yes.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, in my own personal belief, and I see by what you write you agree with this also, there is a time and a place for medication.
Yes,
I think so, it's yeah. not a black or white thing. It's not one or the other, and there's nothing wrong, even if you're very holistic and pure in your approach to it, pure in the sense of not using medication and stuff, that there is a time and a place that makes it appropriate. So talk about the issue of what's going on with medications in this country at this point that to deal with things like anxiety and depression and stuff, and how your approach could potentially help people circumvent the need for medication, possibly.
Yes, great. Thanks. That's a great introduction for this topic. Thanks, Stuart. I know really quite a bit about central nervous system drugs. That's my doctorate really is in that. And I've never prescribed any. I'm not ever licensed to do that. I'm not a physician.
Mm-hmm.
Just a pharmacologist, someone does research on central nervous system drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And But I do think, in my work as a psychologist, that I have seen a number of people treated with antidepressants, anxiolytics, mood stabilizer drugs. And the question in my mind is, and I've seen a lot of those people, percentage-wise, there's a lot of people who come in to see me, or who have come in to see me. And the question for me is, how much of what's going on with them is kind of chronic worry, chronic stress, chronic anxiety, chronic depression, and how much of that has come from really unbridled thought streaming that just kind of works its way into our consciousness, into our lives, and causes worry on a very chronic basis, causes the self-talk that's negative and self-destructive or depressed. And so my personal belief is that there's a lot of overuse of medication these days, and
mm-hmm.
that there's some very simple things that we've never been trained to do, and I think we should learn about thought streaming and like the fifth grade, understand what goes on with your mind what thoughts are all about, that they actually occur in you. They might come from a, there are a group of neurons in the brain that are just what are called tonic neurons. They fire repeatedly, kind of like your heart muscle fires without you having to do anything about it in a voluntary way. So my personal sense is, this is not verified by research papers right now, is that thoughts probably come out of tonic neurons just kind of getting together and firing, and all of a sudden you have the thought that you want to have lunch. So all that energy built up and now you want to have lunch. We don't learn that. It's like an involuntary process, really. We don't learn about that when we're children. We don't learn about the rest of the thought streaming then that might follow, and whether or not it's really useful to go down a thought stream in a logical thinking way, or whether it's used to sort of, whether it's better to just sort of forget about them, look to turn your attention away from them, and go on about your business. So I think that if we had some education in the country about thought streaming, had some maybe some practice sessions for kids to sort of practice for looking at their thoughts instead of looking into the meaningfulness of their thoughts,
mm-hmm.
I think we would have a lot more people who would understand them, have a natural remedy for a lot of depressed and anxious thinking, and might be able to go on their way a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. So,
Stuart, I have a caller online. Robert from Scottsdale has a question for Steve.
Okay, Robert, welcome to the show. What's your question?
I'll tell you this, what bothers me sometimes is my anger. And it's one person who I gave a lot of money to. I actually won it at a casino and told him to hold on to it. And he started paying it back to me. It's still quite a bit of money he owes me, but he decided to leave town, you know, down here in Arizona, in the heart of Arizona, in the valley here, and swore at me and really just absolutely verbally just sort of like tore me apart after he left and just got real nasty. It's one of those things. I didn't like it, and I know he owes me the money, and he knows he does, but he told me he won't do it, you know, just because he wants to be nasty. Unfortunately, he didn't want to remain friends once he got, you know, my money after a while and didn't want to pay it. He had a lot of problems. I knew for a fact that he had a drug problem. It could be the reason why he may be not able to pay me. And I do understand to, you know, a fair degree. I have to admit, though, sometimes because of what he told me, I get so upset with him. I have to tell you the truth. My thought process is almost go into murder. I feel like going up there and, you know, shooting the guy. I'm serious. And yet I know I won't, because really deep down I don't want to harm him. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to see if I can sort of like reverse it where, you know, those thoughts never come in the first place. And they do, you know, and I don't know how to really prevent them, because I won't act on them. It's just that it causes me a lot of stress, you know, and anxiety, even half thoughts, you know, that are really that brutal, to tell you the truth. I don't want them. I just don't know how to get rid of them. I know I'm not going to get my money ever. He already told me that, and it's just one of those things, I guess. Sometimes I just feel, look, you just got to live with your anger, even if it's pretty bad anger, like what I may have against somebody. You know what I mean?
My first comment, and then I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Pashko, is it feels to me like what you've been saying is the verbalization of your thought streaming. Is that correct, Dr. Pashko?
I think it is the verbalization. Really, the caller is in a very good situation, despite the anger dragging him around.
Steve, I'm going to ask you to go away from your radio for a minute, because it's we're hearing it in the background and it's coming through.
Okay, I have no radio around by me.
I'm talking about the caller, Steve.
Oh, the caller? Oh, I see.
Okay.
I shut off my radio.
Okay, good. Go ahead, Dr. Pashko.
Okay, yeah. As I was saying, the caller is really in a good situation. One is that he can see that anger is not him, that he has this thing called anger that's been happening to him. Sometimes people are just so unconscious about anger that as soon as that anger wells up inside of them, there's no reflection on anger. It's just an outward expression of what the anger causes in them. They may go out and try to destroy something, hurt someone, or whatever. So really kudos to the listener that he can identify this as something separate from himself. That's That's a marvelous thing. The second thing is that we have kind of societal influence going on where thought streaming is encouraged, really, among us. We have soap operas on TV, and they encourage us to figure out who did what to whom, how is this person going to get back at this person, and it kind of gets into that thought stream mode. Are we okay with the phone story? I heard some.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. What everyone, including the listener, needs to do is to recognize thought streaming when it happens, and then to extract himself out of it, or to lose fascination with it. And granted, these are very fascinating topics. That is fascinating in a negative way. That anger has such a grip on us at times that we can't break free of it. Because it's in a way fascinating to look at how much anger we all have. And if we can kind of let that go, we don't have to, we probably can't let really strong emotions like anger, great fears, great hatred go. But I'm trying to give readers of my book a sense that those are what I call toxic torrents, in keeping with the streaming kind of theme. Those are the ones that grab you, make you do harmful things despite what your logic says you should be doing. They get you out of bed. They cause sleeplessness at night. There are things that are less severe. I call them rushing rivers. That's kind of pretty significant daily problems. Cars that just don't really work as well as you want to have them. Relationships sort of breaking up, or you're not sure where they are. On a more benign level, there are simple streams. Just when you want to get milk at the store, you go, I got to get milk at the store, I got to get milk at the store, things to help you remember. That's all thought streaming, but in reality, there is a placid pool of no thought streaming that is kind of the ultimate in recreation. That's why we go away. That's why we do some things like bungee jumping, so we can get really mental peace and quiet finally, because we just enjoy it so much. So I would encourage the listener to understand that this is a toxic torrent of thought streaming, that he's probably not prepared right now to let it all go, but I would encourage the listener to practice with every thought stream that comes into his brain, and never to follow any of them, even the most benign. And that's that practice of letting all that thought streaming go, letting it all go, will help with these really vicious things that we all run into.
I want to thank the caller for calling in, and I appreciate the fact that you're listening to the show. And to carry that a little further, a lot of what I'm hearing is something that I even do, and most people I know do. It's kind of like we're so angry about something that we're constantly rehearsing in our head what we could say and how we would handle it if we were face-to-face with this person. And it's this rehearsal thing, and, you know, if I could only say that, if I could do this over with, and this rehearsal. And to me, that's another form of another way of saying thought streaming. And it's not a quick fix, and I want to say that to the caller, Steve. It's not a quick fix. You know, this is a very toxic thing that's going on with you, the rage, the anger. The very fact that you can say, sometimes I feel like I want to shoot him, but I know I won't, is important to own the extreme that your emotions have gone to. Now, to take another look at it, and I know that Dr. Pashko talks about in this book a lot, is the impact that this type of toxicity has on us. It takes us away from our ability to be present in relationships and to be more intimate. It takes us away from being effective on the job. It affects our health and the fact that we may not be sleeping as well, or tension may cause more headaches or other illnesses and, you know, repressed immune system functioning. So many other things that type of intensity will cause and carry on. Now, the one thing, Dr. Pashko, that you keep saying, which I agree with, is it's important to become more aware of your thought streaming. Becoming conscious of it means that it has a bit less control. And that's true in therapy, I bet, anyway. It's about, you know, self-awareness is part of the healing process. But what does he do beyond that? Once he's aware that the streaming is, and I think he was just by what he said in the call, where does he go with it from there?
Yeah, the there's sort of a two-armed practice, really. One is the immediate sense of rage and that anger is kind of hard to keep on one level because it's tiring, and it will go, it will subside, and it will come back strongly. It will subside and come back strongly. You'll have that kind of a sense to it. When one is in the midst of it, one can make a promise with oneself not to to act on that rage and to sort of wait it out till your cooler head prevails. In the midst of that, really high attention is the thing that I have found that's the most capable of helping us with our thought streaming.
Mm-hmm.
The highest attention we can muster is helpful for the most harmful thought streaming.
Mm-hmm.
Some attention is helpful for moderate levels of thought streaming. And after a while, when one develops a knowledge of how to pay attention to things, one can really exist in that placid pool of, let's say, pure attention, and there's that emotional impact of anger doesn't have really any place to grab. So in great attention, it's my belief that people who actually do go bungee jumping are doing extreme sports to be able to handle toxic torrents that are coming their way, really vicious thought streaming, and such a high level of attention is needed to be able to block those from our consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So, but one can also just do vigorous exercise. One can jog 5 miles. You know, when you jog the first half mile, in my experience, you know, my brain used to be off on thought streaming. But after about the 2 mile mark, there's nothing really going on in your brain. You're just kind of like jogging along,
mm-hmm.
and it's that runner's high, that being in the flow, all those good words that we know and love. And that's really, to my sense, why people want to go jogging. They want to get the mental clarity, the mental peace and stillness that comes from jogging. Yes, it's great that it's good exercise, good for your health in many, many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the significant drivers is, and this is true of all recreation, is mental peace and quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So attention, activities. I've heard that some women can get into crocheting so strongly that you know, paying attention to each of the turns of the needle, that when they look up, you know, an hour has gone by.
Right.
They've not been in any thought streaming, and they've just been very purely attentive, and they've not had worries, not had
kind of
angers.
Like a Zen moment or a Zen experience. Or...
Yes, but like an hour-long one,
mm-hmm,
right?
Yeah.
Yes, and if one can pay attention mm-hmm. all of the time, then there's really no place for that that anger to really reside.
Mm-hmm. I think there's another level that I would, as from my therapeutic bias here, that I would encourage the caller to also deal with. One way of increasing one's awareness and actually moving the rage and the toxic emotions and is to take a look at the process of what's going on. One thing I would suggest to a client is that they possibly start writing a series of letters to this person that they're having the difficulty with. And usually that starts moving it out in a more constructive way and helping them, in a sense, see their thoughts on paper a little bit more clearly. And the letter writing issue, like I said, usually is a cathartic type of experience. And also to take a look at the fact that the thought streaming, and you say this in your book, and I think it's a very important thing to look at, that thought streaming very often is really, it's not about as we talked about earlier, the content of what's going on, it's the process of what's going on. And the process may have to do with a pattern of hurts in your life, a pattern of anxiety that you tend to choose most of the time, and that, you know, the caller might want to look at the patterns in his life of people lying to him or people betraying him or his own issues with money. Now, that would be an ongoing type of thing that would be helpful for him to do with a therapist. But to me, it's about the process and not so much the content, which gets me to an issue that I told you I was going to bring up on here. In your book, you talk a lot about more traditional psychotherapy being more focused on content than on process. And I understand that with analysis and more Freudian and Jungian type of things. But, you know, to me, in my line of practice, coming from a Gestalt background and other things, process is a very important thing. And a lot of my colleagues also feel that the process is as important, if not more important, than the content of what's going on. So I need you to address that a little bit, because I know that you mentioned that in your book a lot, that most therapists deal with content more than process, and that your approach really is more of a process approach, and I understand that.
Yeah, that's right. I think there is a place for both.
Mm-hmm.
In my own experience, and let me sort of speak to the caller's issue here a little bit. The caller may have some sense of the meaningfulness of the hurt that generated this anger. And it may be that he may feel that it means that he was betrayed by a good friend, and betrayal is something that he really, really hates. It may have a meaning that he feels foolish, and feeling foolish is something that he doesn't really like very much.
Mm-hmm.
And those are important to look into. I just, for the psychotherapists that I know, most of them really have a fascination with meaningfulness and content over process.
Mm-hmm.
And this is from my little sample of friends, okay?
Right.
And that, for me, my approach is more process-oriented, of course. And I find that there is a natural dissipation of meaningfulness in things as we let our thought streaming go and just keep losing fascination with it, which actually means losing fascination with what we believe it all means.
Mm-hmm.
There may not really be any meaning directed towards us,
right,
from each of these things.
Mm-hmm.
It may simply be that our thoughts have, over engulfed us, and that really it may be that we just have no control of our thoughts,
mm-hmm.
Really of any of them, but we believe we do, so we take ownership in them a bit. But my sense is that if we treat all thought streaming as really irrelevant to us personally in terms of meaningfulness, that we really do much better in our lives. So I kind of have some issue with friends of mine who are very content-driven and look into meaning.
Mm-hmm.
For me, meaning is much less important.
Right. Well, I think it may be the circle you've been traveling in then, because if you were out here hanging around my colleagues and friends, most of them are more process-driven than content-driven, and that was really the point that I wanted to make. There is a real range of approaches that psychotherapists take, and a client looking for a therapist needs to find someone who's really resonating with what they need in their approach.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Now, I appreciate you dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Another way of talking about this, actually, I think, is the fact that none of us have been taught any better. None of us have been taught any different. You alluded to that earlier when you said, you know, why not start childhood and teaching kids to start exploring and being aware that these thought streams exist. So it's almost as if, like you said, we have no control over it, but we also don't realize that there's any other way of thinking or watching our mind. It's almost like an addictive process, and it's a toxic thing. And very often,
yes.
I think when you try and change something like this or stop it, something like this, there's a detox that goes on. And it's not always comfortable because, like I say to a lot of clients when they first get into therapy, it's going to feel more uncomfortable before it feels comfortable, because as you become more aware of what's going on and more conscious of your behaviors and the issues that are going on, you can't avoid them anymore. There's no denial possible anymore, and it becomes more uncomfortable before it becomes comfortable. And not to be scared away from doing it just because of the increased discomfort.
That's right, and there's really an intimacy that comes along afterwards that we actually have always been looking for, and we're so surprised when we see it. In the book, I overheard a conversation in a coffee bar one time, a young man and young woman who just saw the movie Titanic, and they were chatting. Looked like a first date kind of thing. You know, who knows about these things, but they seemed to be nervous, and they went on this kind of a joint thought-streaming tangent. One said, well, you know, what happens if the Titanic didn't sink? You know, would it be a hospital ship in the war? Would it be going to, you know, South America? And on they went with this long thought stream. And it just seemed to be that they were kind of fearful of engaging really intimately with one another. And yet they were there on a date looking for that intimacy. And so I think you know, to the extent to which they could have dropped that, and they could have, you know, suffered through that really uneasy feeling about sort of showing themselves for who they really are, getting to the intimacy of that and communicating directly, I think they both would have had a much better time. As we all would, you know, it's really uncomfortable if you're sitting talking with a loved one, and they have some mental chatter going on. It really feels uncomfortable to be talking to them. You know that they're not really listening to you. And what we really want back from people is their attention.
And to me, when I talk about intimacy, I've done a number of shows on it. My definition of intimacy is an expression of our natural desire for connection. And what I get clearly in your book, and what you keep saying also, is the more we quiet the mind, the more capable we are of connection, true connection, and more capable of actually dealing with someone from the heart instead of from the head. So I really agree with what you're saying. You know, as we're staying more cognitive and intellectual, we're blocking what's going on below the neck, in a sense.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, when it sort of took me by surprise in December 1999. I had, like, literally all of my thought streaming stop permanently. And what a shock that was for how close everything seemed to be to me, not just sort of geographically close, but intimacy-wise. You know, the powdered iced tea that I was making just really looked pretty good. I didn't have any griping about, oh, it's got a funny flavor, or, you know, I wish the water was purer, or I wish it was sweeter. It was just, you know, you're just having the iced tea experience without all that damn mental chatter.
You're being in the moment, being in the now. And when there's no past and no future, there is peacefulness in just being in the moment. And,
and that moment, in case callers are unfamiliar with that moment can be not just a moment where we would consider it to be a second in time, but that moment can go on for really quite a long time when you are in the moment. It can be a very, very long moment.
Now, we have about 15 minutes left, and you're beginning to talk about the positive results of attending to this. And again, I've read almost your whole book already, and I really recommend it to people to give them this kind of framework. It's called Free Your Mind, It's Not What You Think by Dr. Stephen Patchko. You're talking about what happens, what are the positive results, what are the things to look for, and you're talking about that sense of peacefulness and quietness. But you also talk about the issue of insights, and I think that's so important. I'm one of those people that about three nights a month, no matter how tired I am and think, oh, God, I'm just going to have a good night's sleep, as soon as my head hits the pillow, the thought stream starts. And I end up literally staying up all night because it just won't shut down. And at a certain point, I just surrender to it. And if it means picking up a book or turning on the TV or whatever, and I just, it's happening less frequently. But I would say at this point about three nights a month, it's like my head hits the pillow and I'm wide awake.
Mm-hmm.
But you also talk often about how it's those moments just before we get into sleep that the mind starts shutting down the thought streaming, which gives us access to our inner voice, so to speak. So we stop the thought streaming, but we're actually more connected to, you know, a consciousness where we can be very creative and gain insights and come up with great ideas. And I think a lot of listeners would agree that it's in those moments that they probably have had the most creative ideas of their lives. So how would I, when I have that night and I know I'm exhausted and I hit the pillow and all of a sudden I'm wide awake again, what do I do at that point? Or am I doing it already by surrendering to it?
Well, yeah, and, you know, it's practice, Stuart. Practice is kind of the counsel, which is practice every day, every second. And to the extent to which you can understand that you're in the midst of a thought stream,
mm-hmm.
you know, try to find your way out.
Mm-hmm.
And do that with the simplest things. You know, you won't get the hard ones that prevent you from sleeping immediately, but just kind of keep working at it. Just sort of keep acknowledging that a thought stream is going on and pull yourself out. Oh, here's another one, and pull yourself out. And to your point before, I think my view is that thought streaming is like a layer, like a blocking layer. That's probably a good term for it. It's a blocking layer from us reaching what I would call our normal level of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Often we think our normal level of consciousness is thought streaming, but for me, thought streaming is blocking our normal level of consciousness.
Right.
And it's my sense that, and my personal experience, that when thought streaming goes away and you're in that flow, you have much more access to insights. There's nothing kind of going on in your mind to block them. And all of a sudden, these really good ideas come up. They're single thoughts. They're like inspirations, kind of like how Einstein had his E equals MC squared moment. You know, he wasn't figuring things out with a paper and pencil. He was walking in the Alps with his friend, and all of a sudden, bong, it hit him. And he had that insight. And insight is really where we are our most creative. And I think we've made an error. And in the book, I call it the primary error of thinking, in that we believe logical thinking, useful as it is to make a bridge or to do arithmetic, to do planning or whatever that is, that really doesn't give us any insight in any strong way. When we sort of rest in our normal level of consciousness without thought streaming going on, all of these really nice inspirations come to us. They're very powerful, and you really can't get there by logical thinking. So to the extent to which we can set aside our thought streaming, we have a much more powerful sense of wisdom that can help us through our problems.
Right.
And when we try to be vigilant to our problems, keep them in our mind in thought streaming because we think we're going to get a solution faster because we keep them on our mind, that's the mind that we need to free. That's why the title of the book, Free Your Mind. Free your mind from that thought streaming,
mm-hmm.
and get back to the really clear consciousness that we all can experience after 2 miles of jogging, some crocheting, maybe some meditation, or even being fully immersed in a movie.
Right.
You know,
I mean, to me, I used to be addicted to going to films because I think it was the one time my mind did quiet.
Yes, certainly, yes. Mm-hmm. And
I don't watch movies near as often as I used to, but I used to just hide sometimes an entire weekend in 5 or 6 different films.
Yes, and where do those 2 or 3 hours go? They go by in a flash, you know, completely. Time has a whole different concept of being in the moment. You are in the moment for that whole movie, and look how good that feels.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're talking about all of this providing an avenue to get back to the innate inner wisdom that we all have. As the mind quiets, you're talking about, we open up that space within ourselves that allows for insight, that allows for creative process and what have you. And to me, that has always been what I tell clients is the main purpose of therapy, is to kind of, you know, strip away everything else. There's nothing that I have to teach anyone about, you know, who they are, because who they are already exists in there, and it's a really wise, compassionate human being. You know, it's the way we're all born, and the mind, the thought streaming and other things that we're taught along the way or take on along the way just, you know, put layer upon layer on top of that, that we forget that's who we really are.
Yeah, we start second-guessing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We lose that sense of insight and inspiration, and our logic systems go, well, this is a good thing to do, or we could do this, or we could do this, and you end up with like 15 or 20 possibilities that sort of logically seem like it may be the right thing, but you're not sort of following your true intention. They're just kind of like
right.
mental chatter that's more confusing than sort of settling a solution for you.
Right, and it's not just not following your true intention, but sometimes it's a realization that you're really not following your true purpose.
Yeah.
That the thought streaming may be something that's really clouding out of your own fear of risking doing what you know you're really here to do, you know, to really take away from that and to keep you distracted enough so you never have to risk doing it, succeeding at it, or failing at it.
Yep, excellent points, Stuart. Excellent.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. So actually, this is another tool that can really allow people to really self-actualize, in a sense, because it eliminates the clutter that keeps you from that path.
That's right. And I have a little, you know, I think many of us have a belief that thought streaming is what keeps us going in our life, and without it, we would, like, fall down or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yet people don't really notice some very common things. And if you sit at a computer keyboard and you're going to be typing a letter, you know, you don't really, if you're just going to be doing that, you're not like copying anything. Let's say you're just going to write this letter from your own wisdom or your own intentions. As soon as your attention gets dragged away to something in thought streaming, you start to make errors when you're typing on the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're fully attentive to what you want to write, you don't really have to know that the index finger is going to hit the F, you know, that the second finger over is going to hit this key. You don't really have to do that. It happens, we say it happens automatically,
mm-hmm.
but it happens with our natural wisdom. We've learned something and here it comes. And the blocking action of thought streaming starts to cause you to have errors and will take you attentionally away from what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also very important to be aware of how often we go into thought streaming when we're in the middle of a conversation with someone, you know, and to be honest about it. I know that, you know, I talk about my ADD a lot, and when I'm working with clients with ADD, you know, the basic thing about the title of my show is Tell the Truth Faster. And to me, it's important to be able to say, you know what, I call it an ADD moment. I just had an ADD moment. My mind just wandered. Please don't be offended, but could you repeat what you just said, because mm-hmm. it's important for me to really hear what you've been saying to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so to me, you know, they usually get a chuckle out of it. Very rarely is someone really offended, because I'm being honest about it, and I'm getting back to the connection with them, and I'm doing it honestly without trying to cover it up.
Well, yes, and if they were honest back to you, I'm sure that they would be saying the same thing, you know, back to you,
mm-hmm.
more frequently than you might be hearing them now.
Exactly.
So it's very hard. It's very hard to maintain full attention all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, there are things that we don't like to see. We don't like to see hunger on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like to see anger being expressed right in our face.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're even a nice a love moment is sometimes too overpowering for us, and so
mm-hmm.
we really can't take that. So we look to turn our attention away even from love.
Right.
It's just too strong for us sometimes. So to be fully attentive in all that really takes some effort.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have about 5 minutes left, and I really want to make sure people know how they can get the book, a little bit more about how to reach you. I know you have a website, www.thoughtstreaming.com, very easy to remember, thoughtstreaming.com, where they can find out where they can order the book. They can also email you directly on that if they have questions, and they can also go through my website, tellthetruthfaster.com. But do you do workshops? Do you talk to groups and things like that? What else do you do with this book now that it's been published?
Yes, and let me just sort of say that people can also just go to Amazon.com and get
mm-hmm.
the book that way. They can either look up Free Your Mind or my last name, Pashko, and do a search, and up it will pop. And yes, I do. I do workshops typically at Centers for Health and Wellness.
Mm-hmm.
I do some workshops to the public at, like, public libraries, public groups. That's the principal avenues for me right now. I think I've taken on I've stopped a private practice because I think I need to get a message out to more and more people. So I'm just trying to do more things like your wonderful radio show to
mm-hmm.
speak in groups of hundreds. To speak to certain clubs or whatever. So I try to really get the word out, and even to talk to educators about trying to get thought streaming to be known by kids in grammar school, and even in freshman year in college. I think it'd be a wonderful time to help kids understand what's going on in their brain. Certainly,
mm-hmm.
I would love to have read my book when I was a freshman right in college.
Well, you had to write it first.
Yeah, exactly true.
So your website's one way, and you are in the Philadelphia area, correct?
Yes, I am.
That's home base for you.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
And so is it safe to assume you do more public speaking in that area, or do you travel quite a bit?
I don't travel too much. I stay in this area right now because it just people have wanted to hear more and more in this area, and as shows like yours out in the Southwest come to be, then
mm-hmm.
I can envision myself traveling out there. But for right now, it's mostly regional workshops and things.
Well, I'll remind my listeners that in about 3 or 4 weeks, if they want to hear the show again or they want a friend to listen in, that this show will be archived on my website, tellthetruthfaster.com, along with all the other shows I've done over the last 3 years. It's become a really good resource for mental health issues and for these types of interviews and information for people. And I get emails from people all the time who didn't even know the show existed, finding their way to the website and listening to a couple of shows. So I would really like to thank you. I know it's a Saturday, and I really appreciate you taking your time on your weekend to join us, Dr. Pashko. And it's enlightening. And I know that since I've been reading the book, I've actually talked to 2 clients about the thought streaming issue, and I have. It's like hearing something, like we said, increases one's level of consciousness of it, and once that level of consciousness starts increasing, it's almost impossible to shut it down again. So
That's right.
Brings on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, again, thank you so much for being part of the show today, and I really appreciate it, and I really recommend that people get Free Your Mind, It's Not What You Think, by Stephen Pashko, PhD.
Well, thanks, Stuart. Had a really wonderful time.
Well,
thanks. Really
so did I.
Okay. Great.
And I want to remind my callers, my listeners, that I'm here every Saturday afternoon in the Phoenix area on KXAM, 1310 AM. I want to thank you all for listening. And I also want to say thank you to somebody that I really don't do very often, and it's my engineer, Rob Noon. He's been with me for most of my time on KXAM, and I really appreciate the effort and the way he handles the show for me every week. So thank you all for listening. This is Stuart Altshuler on KXAM, 1310 a.m. in Phoenix. Tune in again next week with us. Thanks.
That I heard of one.